Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live this morning. You can reach us 410-662-8780 or email us foremanwolf@wypr.org. And it's just beautiful fall outside.
Oh, it's so great.
Except for the drizzle and the gray.
That's okay. It's okay. That's part of fall. It's a great day.
Apples and pumpkins and...
Today makes you feel like it's time for apples and pumpkins and maybe a fire in the fireplace.
Wearing a brown sweater.
It was like 48 degrees when I got home last night. So, yeah, I mean, I'm like, ooh, I might not try out that new fireplace of mine.
Luke, our over-caffeinated producer, is wearing his brown sweater.
Over-caffeinated.
Yeah, it's definitely fall when we're both wearing a brown
sweater.
It's fun.
I love this time. This is the best time of the year. Fall into winter. Yay! All the holidays.
They're coming. Uh-huh. They're coming. But
so do you? Are you going to the apple patch, Tony?
I'm not going to the apple patch, but I did pick up from some of the orchards the last couple of days.
I know.
You know, for restaurants and such, and for
so what's
little
the
girls
season
in my house.
Oh, that's sweet. What this season? I know we've had such an odd. I mean, summer with all the rain we had a really tough local farming season. I feel really bad for the local farmers. What do you think about apples and things? I think you said the pears are done, right?
Well, let me back up one second and just remind people. We're talking about apples, which sounds like a simple topic, but people have feelings about apples. People have feelings about apple pies, apple fritters.
I have feelings about all those things.
Apple sauce, apple butter, apple cider.
You sound like Forrest Gump. Fried apples, apple stew.
No, that's not the shrimp program, Cindy.
Apple.
No.
Apple soup.
No, no apple and pineapple.
Apple
no, thanks.
Pancakes.
Apple pancakes, pretty great.
That's one of the things I want to talk about.
Apples and Greek yogurt.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that,
I love
that
Greek
and a little muesli is the perfect breakfast.
Oh, I'm with you. Oh, and also the other thing about apples is, you know, to me, I like the crunchier ones. The ones with the best crunchy texture are my favorite, like Honeycrisp. Oh, my gosh. Once Honeycrisp came around, I'm like, ooh, what are these things? But there's so many.
You can reach us with your apple opinions and apple recipes, 410-662-8780. Or email us foremanwolf@wypr.org if you're feeling shy.
And, yeah, definitely want to, you know, I hope people call in. I want to hear people tell us what they like to do with apples, especially since, you know, enough of them, when you get apples, you can buy a bushel. I mean, that's a lot of apples to work with. So, you know, you can just do so many things with all those apples. And, you know, and also, you know, you have children, you know, what are the fun things to do with kids, you know, to get them involved and starting them down their process of learning how to cook and, you know, becoming someone that really respects the seasons. You know, I think those are great lessons that parents teach their kids these days. And I'm so thankful for that because, you know, in this country, we have everything we want. You know, you can basically, if you can buy it, you can get it.
You hope that everyone has.
Well, I know that everyone doesn't, but you have everything available if you can buy it, is what I'm saying. And the thing is that, you know, there was a time where we were eating raspberries in the middle of winter because they were available. And we shouldn't be eating raspberries in the middle of winter because unless they're, you know, really, I mean, we do like local. Of course, if they're excellent coming from somewhere, then that's different. But if they're inferior coming from somewhere in the middle of wintertime, then, you know, we shouldn't
that's
be eating them.
Shame.
And I think we're beginning to learn that. So, you know, just because it's available, in other words, doesn't mean we should be eating it.
No, you were asking about the season. I mean, a couple of people have asked me recently because over the past two decades, I've seen an awful lot of farming season. I bought an awful lot of product from
sure
a lot
have.
Of different people. And
absolutely.
I think that this probably is the most difficult.
Yes, a tough year.
You know, if you're getting out to markets, you're thinking about it and want to support these guys locally right now, this is the year to do it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
To go a little deep on the pumpkins and a little bigger on the beans and all that kind of business because they definitely have had a tougher year.
Sure.
A lot of these guys have taken a 50% or more haircut on their product and it's just as much work.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and of course, you know, I know one of our farmers actually stopped just selling things in the middle of the summer because they just didn't have any product because of all the rain. So I can't imagine how horrendous that was for them.
Yeah, no, this has been a
tough year.
Tricky year for sure.
So what are you doing right now with apples at your house?
Besides the magical breakfast, the Greek yogurt, the apples, and
magical breakfast.
I mean, and a lot of times, Honeycrisp, like you mentioned, but Granny Smith's are just starting.
Right.
And those are kind of the other big favorite in our house. And while very good baking apples, they're awfully the old favorite tapa that a lot of people like, the Manchego Manzana.
Oh, so my goodness, that's so good.
Manchego cheese, usually like the 3-month, which is a little bit, it's a little bit less dry, a little bit less salty.
Mm-hmm.
But that very simply, cut into julienne with slices of green apple like Granny Smith's.
And that part's really important. The shape of that cheese is so important to how good that salad can be.
Yeah, and usually you do about 2-to-1 apple to cheese for that salad. And the dressing is simple. I mean, you just toss, my favorite has Marcona almonds, little slivered dates, and fresh mint, fresh basil, and a really good extra virgin olive oil and a tiny bit of lemon juice, and just give it a good toss. And that's a fantastic tapa.
Oh, such a good one.
That is great with pretty much every kind of wine. That is the thing is, it's great for sherry, it's great for sparkling wine, it's great for sweet wine, it's great for whites, great for a lot of reds. It's shocking how versatile that is.
That's great. Cool.
That's one of the all times. We have our first call. Allison on the road near Kingsville.
Hey, Allison.
Allison, you're on the air.
Hi there. Nice to talk with you guys.
Hey, how are you today?
Hey. I'm pretty good. My husband and I were just driving home from apple picking, so
that's perfect.
I thought I would give you guys a call.
Awesome.
So what did you pick?
For the past few months, I've been not eating added sugar, so I'm going to try an apple pie today without any added sugar. So I thought that was kind of unique.
Good.
What kind of apples did you pick for making the pie?
Oh, shucks. We've got some Pink Ladies, some Fuji, and some Red Cameos.
Yeah, Pink Ladies are great baking apples.
What are you going to put in the pie since you're not using sugar?
A lot of the usual suspects as far as spices, and I think the difference is we're going to use Splenda brown sugar, and I think that's going to be the main difference. So I'm see how that's going to come out.
Apple pie using honey instead of sugar is pretty darn good too.
Okay.
Yeah, and I love brown sugar, so that's going to be perfect. And once you start putting this, if you're using cinnamon or Gosling's Black Seal rum or, a little bit of cognac, something like that, maybe even Tony was just talking about sherry, a little bit of sherry in there. I like alcohol with apples. It's also a good way to cook the apples before making the tart. But you can also go the other direction, which is add a little bit of lime juice to them instead of, with no alcohol, maybe a little lime, a little bit of your brown sugar, butter, unless you don't want the butter.
How could you not want the butter?
Well, Sid?
She's
how trying
could you
to
say that.
She's trying to
you
cut out the sugar, so she might be cutting out butter. God, I hope you're not doing both things at the same time. That might be bad
too
for
hard.
You.
remember that cognac is good for relaxing the cook before making the pie.
There you go. That's a good idea. Only when you're at home, though. But yes, have fun. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Good for you, Allison.
Sure.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That sounds like a good Sunday errand.
I totally want to make an apple tart after, thinking about today and just all the things, at the house. I don't often go to that sort of effort unless I have guests. And
You're not a big baker all the time.
I'm not. I don't really love making pastry. I am definitely a savory cook when it comes down to it. But the occasional pastry item, I do like to make. Well, I really like to make Christmas cookies, but and flans. I love to make creme caramel and flan.
Except for all the 17 things that I make, I don't like to make any of those things.
Okay, so maybe I
you
do like to
reach
make pastry.
live today, 410-662-8780, with all of your apple questions, apple recipes, apple desires, apple errands. Or email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org. So what are you going to put in your apple tart?
Well, I want to use a pot sucre recipe, so a sweet dough recipe, right? And I'm in love with almond paste. I always have been. And I really like the idea of blind baking it and then putting in...
blind baking the crust.
So you would roll out your dough, prick the dough. You can actually put it in the freezer for a little bit, a few minutes to get it really cold, and then blind baking it. So you would put a piece of parchment paper in to line the tart dough. Maybe use either pie weights or you can use beans, whatever you have that you can keep that dough from rising in the oven. Yeah, bake it at 350 degrees.
A lot of well-used black-eyed peas at my house.
Yeah, exactly. Those are perfect, and they're inexpensive. So that's what's great about using beans in there. And then once it comes out, making a mixture of almond paste and egg whites. And I'm gonna put a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg and allspice in there, and I've never done that, just to sort of perfume the apples as they cook. And then I am going to do butter. I'll use brown sugar. I love brown sugar, and a little bit of cognac to cook the apples. But I'm gonna cook them really quickly, so I will peel them, slice them, not too thin, but I don't want them to go too thick either. I like it to be a little bit more delicate in your mouth. I don't want to cut through this massive slice of apple, and then cook them just for probably 2 or 3 minutes, and then in that mixture that I was talking about on the stove, on low heat in a saucepan or a saute pan, and then lay them in on top of the almond paste mixture, and make nice, a nice pattern with the apples, and then brush the whole.
Oh, I thought you were gonna make it nice and messy like a home apple pie.
Right, just throw them in there, and then and then brush the whole thing with, just kind of dab it with egg wash, which is whole egg mixed with a little bit of water, just so it has that little bit of shine to the top of it. And I'll hit the crust with that as well. Whatever crust is still exposed, I'll hit that with a little bit of egg wash. Sprinkle a little bit more brown sugar and on top, and maybe dab a couple bits of butter on top, and then bake it. I think that might be good. Yes.
Sounds all right.
That's what I'm doing. Yummy.
Sounds all right. Let's go to a caller. We've got Ann in Annapolis.
Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for this show today. It's great timing because good. I was just thinking about making a baked apple dish.
Yes.
And I was actually wondering about the specific type of apple to use. And so what I thought I would do is describe how I do it, and then maybe you can give
Perfect.
Me a suggestion.
That's great.
Okay? So the way that I make baked apples is in a skillet in the oven, using kind of a, almost like a tart de tin technique, making a sugar caramel in the bottom, basting it, and then baking them whole in the skillet. I do stuff them with some dried cranberries chopped with walnuts. Now, the approach that I've seen many times to make these baked apples uses maple syrup, and I unfortunately don't like maple syrup at all. It's really unfortunate because my husband is Quebecois, so I kind of have a, we almost didn't get married because of that. But
that's a severe maple issue right there.
That's the maple issue, yep. Yeah, we've gotten past it. So I make a syrup with the brown sugar, and then as you suggested, Cindy, Gosling's Black Seal Rum is really great.
I love it
with that syrup. Yeah, it's excellent. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I band the apples so that they don't collapse. So they don't steam inside, and then I just cook them in the skillet in the oven and baste them with the sugar syrup. So what I was really wondering is what kind of apples really are best for that preparation. I tried a lot, and I have to say some work and some don't.
Sure.
I mean, the things that you would want to avoid are things like Red Delicious or Fuji's, the lighter textured ones.
I don't even see those in the supermarket, like my eyes just go with
Yeah. I think Granny's are probably a pretty good all-purpose for that kind of an application, especially if you're making them pretty sweet. Granny Smith's, but if I had a pet for that kind of thing, it'd be Braeburn's. Braeburn's usually make the best tart tatin, and it's a really firm flesh. You would be baking them for a long time. They're going to take a while to break down really at all. They'll hold that shape. You're not going to have to band them so much.
Yeah, I like the cranberries and the walnuts inside. That's going to be really great together and sounds good to me.
Can you email us your address, please?
Yeah, right. And I think the only thing you really need for that is some ice cream, like vanilla bean. Do you serve it with ice cream or what do you
serve?
You got
it. Oh, okay. Well, and the thing about that kind of, that kind of dessert that I just described, Cindy, you're talking about making pastries, which you do, apparently. this is the kind of dessert you can put together any time when you realize, I have someone coming over and I want to do something quick.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Good for you. Sounds delicious. Good job, Anne.
Thanks, Anne.
Thanks for the recommendation. Have a good day. Really appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
So we got Jennifer, please hold on the line. We're going to come back live on WIPR. Please call us 410-662-8780. We're talking about apples, apple recipes, apple ideas, apple cocktails. I mean, that's a Sunday, you know. You can reach us by email also, foremanwolf@wipr.org. And we'll have apples. And in a little while, we're going to get into a chef's challenge, which might be fun and exciting. All of that and more on Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today. You can reach us 410-662-8780 or email us foremanwolf@wipr.org. And we have a caller on the line. Jennifer, thanks for holding on. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
First of all, or afternoon. I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I just got back from the farmer's market that's downtown under the JFX, and one thing is I just wanted to make a plug for the amazing apple stand that's there and probably does travel to other farmer's markets, which is Reed's Apple Orchards, which has lots of heirloom apples.
They've got a lot of stuff from single trees on that farm. It's pretty cool.
And just I love, like Cindy just said, she loves crisp apples. I love crisp apples, and they just have wonderful varieties like Crimson Crisp and Snow Sweet and Yakata. And I buy them, and I really just eat them. And I also I'm really a savory person, but I'm interested in what suggestions you might have to do something with them, like maybe a tart, something like that. I'm not a big baker either, but I'm interested to know something that would be relatively simple that I could do with those.
How about pancakes, if you want something savory? I was thinking about making, you know, apple butter, but not apple butter, what we think
of. I
think
it was easy, man. Honestly, my dad used to do with pancakes when I was a kid. It was great. Mm-hmm. Once the pancake's on the griddle, on that first side, you just cut thin rings and just drop them right onto the pancake. I mean, if it's just been on the griddle, they sink down in there enough that when you flip them over, it doesn't.
Oh, you're talking about on the first side,
yeah,
so it's
yeah.
still raw dough. So
exactly
the
right.
slice of apple goes
and
into
it
the center.
It sinks in
of
there
the
a little bit,
pancake.
And then
that's fun.
You flip it over, and it just kind of caramelizes a tiny bit with the bottom side, and they're pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And doing some sort of an apple butter, you could make a compound butter. Just leave some nice high fat butter out. Let it get a little bit soft. Not doesn't have to be super soft. And puree some apples, even just one apple in the food processor, one that you really love the flavor, or you could hit it into a blender and then pop it in the pan. Reduce it down just for a couple minutes. It doesn't have to take too long. This is something you can make and have in your refrigerator, so that when you do go to use it, it can already be made. But reduce it down a little bit, hit it with a little bit of cinnamon or whatever your favorite spices are, and maybe a little Grand Marnier, because now we're talking about breakfast, and incorporate that. You can actually just mix that in with the butter in a bowl, and you can add brown sugar to it again. Again, these tones are so perfect for apples, it's hard not to kind of repeat what goes with apples. Mm-hmm. And then make the compound butter, roll it, and put it in the refrigerator, and then you just cut slices and put it on top of your pancakes, your waffles, or if you're making crepes, you could do slices of fresh apple, just throw that in with the crepe in the center in little pieces. Oh my goodness, and you're in great shape.
Yeah, sounds great.
I mean, savory applications for apples, you said you like savory dishes. Any kind of game. I mean, honestly, whether it's a venison, quail, duck, squab.
Yeah, I'm making a quail dish right now, and it has dates on it. We were using figs when we could still get them. Mm-hmm. And the date with a little bit of sautéed apple quail is so good together. If you could add a little reduction sauce to it, the intensity of that with the quail has a great flavor. It's not one of the super bloody birds, but it still has good flavor. And dates and apples, you could even add poached leeks to that, maybe maybe a little bit of roasted, fire-roasted pecans, and, you know, you have a great dish there.
I think I'll try that tonight.
Oh, very good. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
So let's make this a little more fun. Let's go to Alex and talk about apple cider cocktails.
Hi, Alex.
Hey. Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
So what are you mixing?
So my favorite thing, I love making my own apple cider and mixing with bourbon, doing like a homemade whipped cream, shaved nutmeg. So I was curious what you all like to do for apple ciders. I love doing blends of Fuji, Gala, and Honeycrisp apples, and then spicing with star anise, cardamom, nutmeg, allspice, cinnamon, cloves. So I was curious what you all like to do for apple cider and what you like to mix with.
I will admit, with cider, I go with a very easy, very high-quality route and buy cider from Werner's Orchard down at the market because he grows cider apples. And
he makes great cider.
He makes great cider.
But are you talking about making a cocktail out of cider as well? Or do you just want to know how we make apple cider?
Oh, no.
Tony, what would you...
I love a local bourbon that's finished in a rum cask. Republic Restorative is a Borough bourbon that they finish in rum casks, and like the molasses and caramel of the bourbon with the apple cider and those natural sugars really find each other.
I tell you, there are two classic cocktails that are greatly ameliorated by apples in season. One is Sidecar. You could slip a little bit of cider into that mix instead of just the citrus, and that's awfully good. And another is Manhattan, using Honeycrisp apples and doing a little bit of muddling. Do the same thing with an old fashioned with that apple, and that's awfully good. You just want to strain the apple out of those guys.
Yum! Yeah, those sound great.
Well, thanks, Alex.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Tim, who has a poaching question. Tim, go ahead.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One of my favorite dishes is a red wine poached pear, and I wanted to see if you could maybe swap out the pear for some apples.
Sure.
I've got a bottle of apple cinnamon mead from a meadery here in Baltimore, and I wanted to see if that would be something that's possible.
I don't know what mead is. What's mead, Tony?
It's fermented, but from honey.
So it's like liquor? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, on the road.
So if it's really strong, what I would do is I would only use a little bit of it. And
it's 12% ABV. It kind of drinks a regular wine.
Okay. So then if it's like regular wine, then just spice it up. I would put it in a pot with cinnamon stick and star anise, and I would add a little fresh, if you think it's appropriate, because I've never tasted it, fresh orange juice, which is so pretty. If you add some sort of citrus, it just perfumes it. And then as well as the spices, it's not the only tone then, because you have that citrus as well. And it also keeps the apples from turning. So is this a clear liquor or a light-colored liquor? Or
it looks like a bottle of white wine.
Okay, got it. All right, so therefore you want to keep your apples from turning. So if you put a little bit of acid in there as well, it will help. And then just spice it up. If you feel it needs sugar, go ahead and add, I would add white sugar to it. And then that can be it. Or if you had something like lemon verbena, I think that might be really beautiful in something like that. So you could perfume it with lemon verbena, which a little bit goes a very long way. And I grew some this summer and dried some, and I'm actually really looking forward to using it to sort of perfume things in that way. And when you poach an apple, it's not going to take long. Peel it beautifully. Take the time to, you know, use a paring knife. Or sometimes when I do apples and pears, I'll use a tournée knife, which is a curved little paring knife, but it's got a curved blade. It kind of looks like a beak. And it helps you to do a really nice, smooth turn to the apple, so that way you're not losing the shape of the fruit. And go ahead and either poach them whole or cut them in half, core out the center. But yeah, that's fun.
Is there a particular apple that would work better for poaching? I've never tried this.
I mean, you want firmer things, not something like a Braeburn, which is a really long, long cook apple, but Granny Smith's probably pretty ideal. Pink Ladies, like caller mentioned earlier.
You can do Honeycrisps.
Work probably pretty well.
Honeycrisps are good.
Yeah, those are firm enough.
Yeah, so that's what you're looking for. Have fun.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Cool, thank you.
I had a really interesting, and we are live. You can reach us by phone, 410-662-8780. You can email us, formalwolf@wypr.org, and I've got a few emails to get to in a second. I'm reminded, talking about apples, of sort of an amazing giardiniera. You know, giardiniera is the thing that Italians make oftentimes. It's little pickled, with what the French call mirepoix, carrot, celery, onion.
Mm-hmm.
With different parts of Italy in different seasons, you see different things. In the Alto Adige, in the north one time, served with speck, I had it where it was with a very tart green apple, cauliflower, and sweet bell pepper. And it was a pretty amazing little bit of pickled business to go with the plate of that smoked ham.
It would be fun to pickle some apples.
Yeah.
Pickling, like almost a traditional pickling spice mix, it would be perfect for pickling apples. A little white vinegar, or you could use cider vinegar just to, you know, keep the flavor going, and a little bit of sugar.
Mm. Well, here we go. We've got an email from Rachel and Harvey. We are planning on making an apple maple creme brulee tart for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that sounds so good.
That sounds like a complicated bit of business right there. Of our own invention. It's a good invention. We're a bit little concerned that the apples might make the creme brulee too watery.
It's going to.
We plan to practice this weekend. What type of apple do you recommend?
Hmm.
We usually get apples from the Sunday farmer's market. Thanks.
I wonder if I wouldn't use apple cider, you know, and reduce it down. I think the way to make it, you know, just hearing that for the first time ever, my instinct is buy apple cider, reduce it down like crazy, not until it's glazing, but pretty close to that. And then add that to the custard, because apples are super watery and they're definitely going to cause you some problems, because creme brulee mixture is already something that is loose. And it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, play with it. Try it. If you want to use fresh apples, do. But I would do apple cider.
I wonder if you could, as a garnish for that creme brulee gratiné, and you don't usually garnish creme brulee, but if you could dry somewhat and then gratiné with like nice crunchy
sugar. Sure, you could do that. Or you could make
apple
cider
or something.
Sorbet. Or apple sorbet. I might go a different route rather than trying to add the apples to it. Yeah, I want to hear about that some.
Yeah, we do want to hear what happens
now.
There.
Yeah, that's fun. I like the idea. Yummy.
Okay, we have an email from Carolyn, who wants to know if you have any interesting ideas for kohlrabi she got her in CSA this week.
Do you, Tony?
I mean, kohlrabi, to some extent, is a little bit like cooking fennel. It's just a little bit tighter than that. It takes more patience than that. It's something that you can poach. You can poach in stock or in white wine, or a little combination of both, and season with some citrus, a little orange juice and lemon juices in there.
Okay.
Is pretty great. Cool it afterwards, and then, you know, you can saute it in a pan to caramelize it a little bit, and it can be pretty darn tasty.
Okay.
But I mean, the same recipe, like I said, applies for fennel as well.
I was thinking we should talk. No one's asked about a salad. I think, you know, some sort of great. Well, you were talking about the manchego and the apple salad.
Question about a salad.
Oh, good. Okay, what is it?
Okay, what is the best apple salad? My mom used to make red onion apple salad with a lot of sugar and garlic. I hated it.
Oh no.
From Jenna in Baltimore.
Uh-oh. All right. So I'm thinking curly escarole, which is so fun and so acidic, like sharp, like not acidic. That's not the right word. Tart, a bitter. Bitter is the right word. So curly endive, curly escarole, something I know. Sorry, Tony. apples. And one of my favorite cheeses is Devon Blue. And I don't know if it's available in the grocery.
Something Devon Blue is pretty rare stuff.
Ooh, but something like a blue that's not, you know, that's sort of, well, that's a sheep's milk blue. So that makes it even more unusual. But it, you know, some sort of grape blue that really has an unusual tone to it, that may have more of a milk edge rather than the blue edge to it.
A milder, sweeter blue. Something like La Peral might be a little more available.
Okay. And then
from Asturias.
Oh, and I saw a Gorgonzola Dolce at the grocery one time. And that would be, I mean, it's, you know, it's like, you know, you're dipping that cheese. It's so creamy. But a little bit of that on a toast point, since you can't really add it to the lettuce, short of making a dressing with it, which that would also be fun too. And add diced apples in this case. And, you know, if you're making it and eating it, you don't have to do anything to the apples. If you're trying to do it for a group, you're going to have to put them in apple juice or in some sort of acid, whether it's lime juice or lemon, whatever is more appropriate for the salad. But yeah, the apple, the blue, and some really great curly endive. I think that would be fun. Or escarole.
Yeah, so that, you know, I'm an escarole fan.
And then you could make a cider vinaigrette, too. So, you know, we were talking about reducing the cider down for their creme brulee.
Yeah, how about a recipe for a simple cider vinaigrette?
Yeah, that would be super fun. So just take the cider and reduce it by about 50%. You don't have to go all the way down to, again, almost to a gloss. You can go short of that and mix that with corn oil. I would add a little bit of apple cider vinegar to it as well, or you could add lime juice or lemon juice for your acid. But you need, you know, that once you reduce that cider down, it's going to be really sweet. So you need to balance it out with some sort of acid. And then I would use corn oil because that's more neutral, and olive oil would just ruin the flavor of the cider.
Certainly, and salt and pepper. No reason not to use a little apple cider vinegar in that.
Yeah, and a little salt and pepper, and it's just a great dressing. Oh. So good. And then toasted pecans. I know I said it before, but toasted pecans, that would be great. Mm-hmm.
You can reach us. It seems like we're live. 410-662-8780. You can email us, foremanwolf@wipr.org, with all of your apple questions, apple needs. Share your great apple recipes, your grandmother's Jewish apple cake, which can be one of the best things ever.
That sounds good.
And, you know, it's funny. I've had bruschetta on the brain, you know. That's because the season goes away. When tomatoes go, there's no more like traditional, you know, tomato bruschetta, which is like one of the happy, easy things of summertime.
Definitely.
But to grill a little toast and also grill leeks, not too mature. And when those leeks come off the heat, you know, julienne those guys.
Okay.
Julienne some Granny Smith apple.
Like an apple bruschetta.
Yeah.
Sounds
very
good.
Very, very simple. Very good oil. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of garlic.
So how about, I'm doing something that's very hard to find and expensive, so I'm going to change it from that to a piece of chicken. And it's a butternut squash and apple compote. And what we're doing is we peel the butternut squash and cut it into a small dice and saute that in butter with a little bit of salt, pepper, sugar, cinnamon, and nutmeg, very little bit of the spices, and then the apples I do separately in butter with a little bit of cinnamon, and I do put Gosling's rum in, so we could change that to some other sort of alcohol. It could be cognac or it could be sherry. And then when the two, I cook them separately because obviously the butternut squash takes much longer to cook than even in a small dice than an apple does. The apple takes like a minute. Butternut squash takes like maybe 3 or 4 minutes on low heat. You don't want it to brown. And then you mix the two together and it makes this just wonderful compote because you do want things to be a little crunchy in there, and then serve it with chicken you know, maybe a little bit of reduction sauce if you have, or if not, just go with the two vegetable, the apple and the vegetable. But it's just a wonderful kind of fresh thing to do. I serve it with foie gras, so, and a vanilla bean brioche toast. So that's what I'm using it for right now.
Before we break, I was just sent a reminder that once upon a time, because I've forgotten everything about everything, I reduced apple cider to caramel.
Uh-huh.
And that certainly would work very easily for the base of a flan, or for, you know, to be part of a creme brulee, perhaps, or as a dessert sauce. But that certainly works. When we come back, I've got an email that begins with the subject line "smoke," and I am a very amateur cook.
Okay, sounds fun.
And well, anyway, we're still taking your calls, 410-662-8780, or email us foremanwolf@wipr.org. We've got time for a few more calls and a little more apple talk before Cindy starts suffering under the chef's challenge. All of that and more on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine on WIPR. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we are live today. We're talking about apples. You can reach us 410-662-8780 or email us, foremanwolf@wypr.org. I have a few emails.
Good.
That are about apples. I have one from an emailer identifying himself as Mr. Millennial. I like to make a dice of firm, tart apples and toss them in a pan while I quickly wilt kale, finish that off in a little balsamic or cider vinegar, and it's great with almonds on top, too.
That sounds good.
So thank you, Mr. Millennial. And we have the other one that I had teased for a second. Subject line, smoke. I'm a very, very amateur cook. I only do a few basic dishes, and I don't cook very often. But when I do, it's usually on the grill, and usually pretty good. But whenever I cook inside, particularly in a pan, I tend to generate a lot, all caps, of smoke. If I cook a steak with butter, chicken with butter, this must be someone related to you, sauteing veggies, all of it sets off all the smoke alarms.
Uh-oh.
I do not have an overhead vent.
Oh, no.
But is there something else I'm doing wrong?
Oh, no,
is
no.
Is my pan too hot?
Well, your pan's too hot, most likely. But mostly, you need to have an overhead vent.
So you're going to have to move.
I can
this
tell
is Ronnie in Baltimore.
You're going to have to move.
So find a new
per
place.
Per Tony Foreman.
Find
get out of
place.
There now. Get out now. Pretty much, I will tell you that when I have a new smoke detector at the farm, and anytime I made toast, that thing went off. And I have a hood vent. So those things are super sensitive, which is great because, of course, they should be. They're saving lives. But if you don't have a vent, forget about it, man. It doesn't matter how you cook, whether you do it perfectly or not, you're going to set off one of those smoke detectors. So short of having 45 windows in your kitchen, you need to go get a vent. That's
even
a
with,
shame.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's one yeah. You need a vent. But even with a vent, a lot of times that...
Oh, I live in my house.
Don't say it.
All right, I won't.
The fire department's going to come after you.
All right, never mind.
Don't say it.
Okay.
Don't say it. So.
Oh, how about autumn wine, Tony? What should we be drinking now?
Yeah, we did talk cocktail. I mean.
Yeah, a little cocktail, but we need some wine.
It's funny. I was asked that question this morning. I came up with four picks. One was sparkling. I mean, frankly, any season you need sparkling wine.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
So, and someone that asked me, what's reasonable from like $15 to $25
that, okay, that's good.
Is tasty, is like special enough to like take to something, mm-hmm. but not so special that I can't drink it pretty often.
Okay, what's that?
In that range, one sparkler is from Spain, an old friend, Pepe Reventos, who we've interviewed on this program before, mm-hmm. from Reventos y Blanc. His 2016 Blanc de Blanc, made from Macabeo and Reggio, that is really beautifully made. I mean, made with native grapes in Catalonia, but made with the same integrity as sparkling wine is made in Champagne.
That's
exciting. And speaks of the place and really has great texture and nice and dry and clean. But I would look at that. Wines from Alsace is the perfect time of the year for wines from Alsace.
Yes, I hadn't thought of that.
If you're trying to take someone from... Whether you're trying to manipulate someone, I guess is the proper term, from going from sweet wine to something that's more dry.
Mm-hmm.
Alsace is the best place to do that because there are a couple of varietals that are drier, there are a couple that are sweeter. One of the most reasonable, especially price-wise, is Pinot Blanc, or you'll see it identified as Auxerrois. And there's a producer named Henri Fuchs, F-U-C-H-S. And he makes a great Pinot Blanc.
Thank you for that spelling.
That's just about bone dry.
Okay.
But it's super charming and floral on the nose and makes you think that you're drinking something fruity. And it is great with a lot of different cooking. And something crisp like that has really, you know, pure fruit flavors, great this time of the year.
And I feel like things like that, I mean, we always say food and wine, you know, need each other. But I feel like some of those wines you can really... You know, if you just are having a glass of wine and not eating, I hate to say it, but they can be handled. They're so pretty.
Yeah. A lot of times a red that's rich, fruity, but not that tannic is nice this time of the year. Something a little spicy. Salice Salentino will do that. There's a producer named Menhir, M-E-N-H-I-R. Cantina Menhir.
Oh, a Spanish
from
wine?
From Puglia.
An Italian wine. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that if you're a fan of Zinfandel or you like something that has that kind of zest, that's terrific to look at. And take a look at some of the small estate 2015 and will be 2016 Bordeaux that are being released. even little Cru Bourgeois like Lillian Ladouisse in Saint-Estèphe. But there's any number of small estates that make excellent wine. Those are great years.
Can you spell that one?
Lillian, like the name, Lillian.
Okay.
Ladouisse is Ladouys.
Okay, great.
So.
That's nice to be able to get a Bordeaux. That's.
Thanks for the spelling challenge. And now here comes your chef's challenge. I hope you have a box of Kleenex.
Oh.
I can get one for you.
Right. Just give
here we
me
go.
Darn thing.
If nothing else, my handwriting will make you cry.
Right. Heads on shrimp, bananas. Oh, Padron peppers. It's like a test. Just reading it. Bananas something. What is that? Bananas. What?
Bananas again.
Oh, bananas again.
Yeah.
Oh, two bananas. All right. Fresh corn. Corn.
Corn.
Okay.
Do you like corn?
Yeah, I do, but it's not in season. Mature,
there
regular.
Is some
you're
corn
so
you can
seasonal.
Still get.
Mature, regular, lamb shoulder, slab bacon.
I'm just
oh,
not that
I can't
mature.
Believe you gave me slab bacon. I gave you slab bacon. How do we do these things? Onion, shallots,
it's
garlic.
It's bacon time.
Marjoram. I love marjoram, not margarine. Let's be clear on that. Mm. I don't know what that next
you
word is.
You love margarine.
Extra virgin olive oil, walnut oil, 10X sugar, which is powdered sugar, honey, eggs, something. Oh my God, this is a lot of ingredients. Chickpeas, vegetable stock, oyster mushrooms. Lamb shoulder.
Those are two ingredients, by the way.
Lamb shoulder. Roast it. Rub good salt and pepper and corn oil into it. I'm going to crush the marjoram. I'm crushing it with my hand right now. I'm going to crush a marjoram and rub that into the interior of the shoulder. I'm going to cut a little slit into it. I don't want a fresh herb on the outside because it's going to take forever to roast. But if I put the marjoram on the inside, I do a little bit of the onion, shallot, and garlic on the inside, sort of really roughly chopped, but just kind of rub it on the inside of the lamb shoulder and roast it. That's going to be good. And then near the end, I'm going to put in more into the roasting pan. I'm going to add more shallots and some large pieces of onion and some of the Padron peppers right near the very, very end and let that roast and finish until it's... I like lamb shoulder when I'm roasting it to medium. Medium rare is just a little bit too undercooked to really enjoy the texture. Oh, you also gave me rosemary. All right, so what's going to be served with the lamb are the chickpeas. So I'm going to use the vegetable stock. This is what I'm going to do to the vegetable stock. I'm going to put the slab bacon. I'm going to render. That's how I feel about your vegetable stock.
This is Cindy Wolf's vegetarian cooking.
Yes. So render the slab bacon. So slab bacon is a solid piece of bacon. It's obviously the bacon before it was sliced. And I love working with slab bacon. So you can cut it into whatever size and shape you want. I'm just going to take, I'm going to pretend that I have a pound of slab bacon. I'm going to cut it into four pieces. I'm going to render that in my pan until it's nice and golden brown and all the fat has come out. I'm going to use some more of the onion, shallot, and garlic and work that into that. Very gently because I never want garlic to brown. Then I'm going to add the vegetable stock. I'm going to let that work. I have already soaked my chickpeas. Chickpeas have a very long cook time. I'm assuming these are dried.
Yeah. Why not?
And then I'll cook those in there. And then that's going to be served with the lamb shoulder, which I'll thinly slice and serve with the chickpeas. And then some of that broth that from the cooking liquid and then caramelize gorgeous oyster mushrooms. That's going to be super good. And add those at the very end. So that's that. And then the bananas. Okay. Head on shrimp. I'm going to saute the shrimp. I'm going to reserve some of the Padron peppers. I'm going to do a very, very fine chop of the... Actually, I'm going to roast the peppers first. Take the skin off, remove the seeds, and chop them into fine pieces. I'm going to slice the bananas in very thin pieces. And then the second banana that you gave me, I'm going to dehydrate them in a dehydrator, which I'm going to slice them super thin.
Do you have a dehydrator in your house?
I do. So I'm going to saute heads on shrimp. I have everything in my house. Heads on shrimp sauteed with the Padron peppers, a little bit of the slice of the banana. What else do I have here? And then I'm going to deglaze with nothing because you've given me nothing. So I'm going to do those things, finish with the corn, the bananas, the peppers. That's really weird, but I think it's actually going to be really good.
No, I bet you it's really good.
That's
what I was hunting for. This was in my brain.
It's not
so.
What you were hunting for. Don't even lie to me. And then after I plate it, I'm going to put a couple of those slices of the dehydrated bananas on top, which like you're going to just want to eat first and be like, that's amazing. And then the arugula.
Bananas are good. Bananas and garlic are really good.
Yeah, the arugula, I'm going to julienne it and add that on top. All right, so that's that. And then the only thing I'm missing is this 10X sugar, honey, eggs, and apparently... I don't know what I'm supposed to do
with
that.
Make a dessert.
With 10X sugar and eggs and I'll make a custard with the 10x sugar, the eggs, and the honey. Okay, that's it. Your turn.
All right.
You might want to read the situation first at the bottom.
The situation, and I'm short on time on this, so
but
let's
I didn't
see.
Give you any near the amount of ingredients.
A stove and a wood fire on a lake. The leaves are turning. This is great. Do I have my mandolin?
Wait, you forgot about the wood cabin.
In a wood cabin in Western Maryland.
Yeah, see, that's your situation. Isn't that's that a nice one?
They had like snow flurries out there this morning.
Oh, I want to be there.
I'm not ready for that.
Really? Oh, I'm going to have to move.
So
to
it's
Western
just
Maryland.
Me and my butternut squash. And my mandolin by the wood fire.
I didn't give you a mandolin.
I probably brought it with me. All right, local apples, your choice. Apple cider, trout.
From the lake.
I need to have my fishing vest. extra virgin olive oil, kosher salt, because I do a lot of fishing. The expert fisherman is Luke, our producer. Kosher salt, peppermill, slab bacon, pecans, flour, eggs. So it sounds like a worthwhile breakfast situation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to build a fire. I'm going to roast that butternut squash in the fire. And when it's roasted, scoop it out. I guess in my tin can, I'm going to have to make a puree with a little bit of the oil and the kosher salt that I have to crush by the heel of my boots. And let's see. I'm going to wrap the trout in the bacon, a whole trout, and roast those guys on the fire. Ideally, hang them by a string, halfway on each side. I guess I have to use I don't know to have anything. What am I going to cook eggs in on a wood fire? I guess, do I have a pan?
Yes, you have a pan.
I have a pan. All right. I'll use a little bit more of the bacon to...
You brought the pan with your mandolin.
Exactly.
That you always take yourself when you go to the
cabin
in the
same case.
In the woods.
Cook the bacon, toast the pecans and the apples all together, and a little bit of the...
I really frustrated you, haven't I?
Yeah,
with these simple...
What am I supposed to do with the flour?
Dust it on the...
You gave me a situation. I'm picturing it.
Dust the flour on the... But I thought you were going to, you know...
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you were going to fillet the trout, dust it with flour, sauté it over the campfire in the cast iron pan.
Sauté on an open fire. Okay.
Yeah, why not? Porque no.
Well, you're a lot more rustic than I am, so...
There you go, Tony.
Exactly right.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all
apples.
We have time for.
That was
for.
Fun, Tony.
That was great. If you want to download the rest of this or any of the other episodes of Formidable Wolf on Food & Wine, go to the WYPR page, WYPR.org, and look for the Formidable Wolf page. Download some podcasts. If you want to reach us via email, it's formidablewolf@WYPR.org. On social media, if you want to follow Cindy Wolf.
You can follow me on Instagram as Chef Wolf or on Twitter as Chef Cindy Wolf.
My Instagram is The Real Tony Foreman. Thanks so much for listening.
Happy Sunday.